Welcome to the Potter's House North podcast. We hope you'll be blessed by today's message.
Reggie mentioned a fantastic point during the tour this weekend. And if anyone missed it, I'm so sorry that you missed it. Please come to the conference in 2019. But you talked about being around your VIPs, your very inspiring people. But then you also talked about your VDPs, your very draining people. And we'll always have those. Sure. But my very inspiring people that I want to be surrounded with are people like my kids and people like the kids and the kids' ministry. So I'll say this because I have four children from the age of 7 up to 19. And what my 7-year-old will share with me about how I'm meeting her needs and how her team and her leaders are meeting her needs in kids' ministry sounds very different than what my 16-year-old is saying and what my 19-year-old is saying. So I have to have four conversations with them and not just say, how was church, everyone? Yeah. You know, be willing to get into it. What were we talking about today? How can you use that in school? Did this remind you of anything? And so my 19-year-old, he had me thinking about that even this weekend. What does the future church look like? Mm-hmm. He says, because only in youth ministry have I ever been forced to go to the front of a room, right? But when I see you in the main sanctuary, the altar's just open.
Sure.
You know, or and not, my kids are a part of the ministry that Phil leads here. And so that's not that. But they're saying in general, you know, there are behaviors and there are things that are done and that occur in ministry that happen at the youth level that they're never going to see in the main sanctuary. You know, my daughter taking notes on her phone. She's like, I'm concerned. I don't ever want them to think that I'm just texting or that I'm on social media. Yeah. And she said, do you ever feel that way? And I said, you know, no, because when I'm in the main sanctuary, no usher would ever come to me and say, put away your phone. I'm going to take it from you.
My daughter, she takes notes with emojis. Like, she'll That's show me, funny. She'll sit in here in a service, and she'll be taking notes, and it'll all be done with emojis.
Right.
Especially when she does lit. Like, she'll be like, Gigi was lit today with a bunch of fire. Yes.
And Gigi is lit every week. Gigi is Pastor week. Cheryl. She is lit, and it requires an emoji to express that. Oh, wow. That is mandatory.
That's their love language, though.
That is. But that's what I think about when I think of what is the church going to look like from the lens of my kids. They want to know that what they're getting now is going to be able to translate into when they're adults.
Yeah. That's good.
My daughter is 7. I don't know what that looks like for her when she's 10. But that's what I would want leaders to think about.
Good.
Be ready for my Zoe because she's coming. She's going to come to a sanctuary and be a part of your congregation.
Yes. Coming to a sanctuary near you.
A sanctuary near you in the next 10 to 11 years. Yeah. And I want her to have a safe place to come back to.
I'm mesmerized, though, because when I was a kid, when I was 7, 8, 9, 10, or 11, or 12, I wasn't thinking about what the church is going to look like in the future. Mm-hmm. You know, I just wanted to get through today.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And to think that inspires me, to think that we have kids that are concerned about what the church of tomorrow is going to look like. That makes me happy. Yeah. I was thinking about my little granddaughter, Mariah. She sat down the other day. How old is she, Lana? She's not.
Sorry.
She's 18 months, maybe?
One and a half.
One and a half. She takes my phone, she hands it to me. That means put your passcode in. I put my passcode in. That child went through all of my apps, found YouTube Kids. Okay, she didn't even make the mistake of YouTube. Yeah. YouTube Kids turned that phone sideways and scrolled through the videos that she wanted. She is 1 and a half. Yeah. Yesterday, she FaceTimed me. 1 and a half.
Wow. Probably on her own.
She did.
She picks it up. She'll call me on her own.
Yeah, Nina walked into the room and said, did she call you? Did she FaceTime you? I said, yes, she did. Yeah. And you know what? That technology. Yeah. I mean, I just think, you know.
Sure.
And Ryan, a few weeks ago, Lana Mark's son, came to us and said he wanted to do small group. And he studied Nehemiah. And he got his Bible app out and studied before he'd go to school. Stood and sat in there on the edge of the stage with what did he have in his hand?
He had an axe.
Yeah, he was Nehemiah.
Yes.
And told the story.
Yes.
And wasn't afraid of the crowd. So I say to the devil, you need to watch
come
out
on,
because you don't have them all.
That's right.
We are raising up a generation with the help. We're partnering with God and parents. Yeah. And there is a generation that will always stand in the gap. And I'm telling you, I'm excited about it.
And I love to talk about this because what we know, because we've got history, mm-hmm. is there's evil outside the gate. Evil has a strategy. Absolutely. That's why it's so important that we do this, yeah. because yeah. we have to have a strategy. We have to have a better strategy. Yeah. And for us to just do business as usual.
Not acceptable.
It isn't. Not in this culture and generation. I mean, depression is on the rise for kids and teenagers. 30% increase in depression and suicide in the last several years. And that's across all socioeconomic lines.
Yeah.
And we've got to create, and it's kind of back to your issue of elementary, you know, acting like middle school acting like their high school. I mean, you're looking at these phases of kids. They're having to deal with issues they didn't have to deal with 20, 30, 40 years ago. Yeah. Our mistake sometimes, or my mistake sometimes is, I remember what it was like being high school, but that was like in 1978. Not high school now, Phil. I mean, this is a whole different ballgame. And so we've got to do our homework and understand what technology and a lot of other issues in culture have done in this generation and walk beside them to give them a safe place. Because mm-hmm. I'm back to this issue of a safe place. If we're not giving them a safe place, then they can't have the kind of conversations to process what they need to process so they can own their own faith.
That's right.
And the bottom line is, we can't just drive them to our conclusions, because as soon as they click a button, they're gonna hear every new atheist, agnostic, the reasoning behind why they shouldn't believe. And years ago, there were like 5 or 6 people that would have influence in our lives.
Right.
To shape our faith, to shape how we see God, to shape how we see the world. But now, a click away, hundreds of voices are shaping their views and how they see God. That's why we have to be louder and smarter in what we do. And that's why our strategy matters. And I would just lean in and say, this issue of creating a safe place is a really big piece of this. Mm-hmm. Because, and I can only explain it this way. I go back to a conversation I had with Jeffrey Canada years ago. Jeffrey Canada was an education reformer in Harlem. And Jeffrey Canada, you know, after we'd gotten off the video set, I asked him, what would you tell the church? Because he's an educator in education. He doesn't really do the church thing much. And I said, but what would you tell the church? Because I've been giving you a platform to churches. What would you tell the church about raising a generation of kids and teenagers? And he said, well, I would tell the church that they don't realize they have a card to play that nobody else has to play.
That's right.
In the future of a kid. Mm. He said, because kids growing up in Harlem don't believe in God because there aren't any adults in their life who are God-like. Right. Mm. And the best thing that you have as a church to hand to a kid in Harlem or a kid anywhere is forgiveness. Because these kids don't know that they can restart when they mess up. They don't know that they can start over because no adult has said to them, oh, you can get back up. You can start over again.
Wow.
And because we understand the cross and we understand grace and we understand what Jesus stepped on the planet to do, we have that card to play. And it's our potential to forgive them. It's our potential to show them what that looks like that I think sets up the church to be the haven for the prodigal son if they walk away. I mean, don't we want the first place they come back to when they get in trouble, the first place they think about to be us is the church?
Absolutely.
Because we created that safe place. Yes. So you're not simply creating a safe place to keep them in a conversation, but to also set up a culture so if they walk away or if they fail, they know where to run back to.
That's awesome.
Does that make sense?
That's absolutely.
And I think our kids, they're so much wiser and smarter and intuitive than we give them credit for. And they know when it's safe and they know when it's not. They know when they know, you know, like even my kids, sometimes they'll tell me they don't want to tell me stuff that happens at school because they know I'm going to go into school and I'm going to deal with it.
I love this conversation because I think the question churches have to ask is how safe do we want to be?
Yeah.
If a kid is wrestling with sexual identity issues, where do you want his first conversation to happen?
Right.
If a child has been abused, where do you want their first conversation to happen? If parents are getting divorced and a kid doesn't know who to talk to, where do you want their first conversation to happen? Because either they're going to have it with us, or they're going to have it with somebody online, or somebody else out there. Yeah. And that's why this is so important.
Yeah. And like you said earlier, the enemy, he has a plan.
Yeah.
And some things in the world, or maybe not necessarily enemies, but businesses, organizations, theme parks, on YouTube channels, people that do their own YouTube channels, and all of these things that are out there, they're strategizing a plan to attract our kids.
Yes.
Consistently.
The Bible says that the wicked bend their bow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they are preparing to shoot at the upright in heart.
Yeah.
So it is a mess when the enemy has a plan, mm-hmm. and we don't have one.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that we need, you know, we're, as parents and as church leaders, I mean, come on, we got to step up our game.
Yeah.
We got to step up our game, and we have to, that's why it's so important that we work together, you know, because I don't have all the answers for my babies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've been in church my whole life, and I still don't have all the answers.
Yeah. And the beauty of this is, if we apply this strategy right, you don't have to have all the answers.
Yes.
You're surrounded by a community that helps you do this. And we've got to implant a mindset into the community that we all have to be a safe place for kids who are wrestling with this, and raise leaders. Mm-hmm. And again, I oversimplify. That's just the way I think. You know, at the end of the day, we have this simple belief that if we can engage every parent into the mix, to even move 10% in the direction of having conversations and being more intentional with their time with their kids, and recruit leaders that will be consistently showing up in the lives of kids, we will set up a different kind of strategy.
Yeah.
That every kid who has a consistent leader will stand a better chance of having a better future.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the widen the circle mm-hmm. principle you alluded to a while ago.
Yeah.
When leaders come to me and say, you're old, and we know you're old, and
they don't think,
give us the one tip, you know, you give us as an older parent. I always say the same thing to those of your younger parents. Widen the circle.
Yes.
You need other adults in the life of your kids. Start now so that you're inviting them into that circle, because as they grow older, they will find those voices, or we will already have those voices in place for them. Yeah. You were going to say something, I think, Katara.
Yes, I was just to that point. I think also getting back to making sure that we're providing a safe place. I don't think that we get to be the judge necessarily of what and who is safe. If the kids don't feel like
Absolutely.
We're a safe place, then we're not. It doesn't matter that we say we're available. Yeah. Yeah. Here are my office hours posted out here.
Here's my email address. Yeah.
You earn relational credit in there.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that's what the consistent leader does. That's why if I were drawing a line of distinction between parents of elementary age kids, parents of middle schoolers, parents of high schoolers, mm-hmm. I would say it's so important to start putting a consistent adult in the life of elementary age kids, even though at that stage they pretty much trust anybody who's a big person and they'll tell you anything. But you're putting into motion a philosophy, so when they move into middle school and high school, they're comfortable with sharing, and they're comfortable with this value that I need another adult in my life speaking into my world. Because if a parent of a middle schooler shows up, they're going to be going, I need another adult, because the world is changing. And middle schoolers mm-hmm. are hitting everything at first. Mm-hmm. In that phase of life, it's their first look at pornography.
Yeah.
It's where cyberbullying starts.
Yeah.
It's, you know, their first dating. Kids enter into sixth grade at 0.05% sexual activity. By eighth grade, it's 30%. So you're looking at all these stats that implode right at this window of time.
Yes.
Right. So we're going, okay, we've got to ramp up what this looks like to put mm-hmm. consistent leaders in their life, so when those things start happening, they have a voice and place to talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pastor, can you speak to this for just a few moments? We have a few minutes left, but as parents, we are like the primary example in our kids' lives, whether we are exemplifying positive behavior, healthy behavior, or negative behavior. There is such a sometimes maybe a stigma for adults who were raised with, you know, kind of that model of what goes on in this house stays in this house. And there's sometimes there's this fear of vulnerability. And as adults, we don't often take time to put ourselves first and to make and to say, who are our safe people to talk to? How can I get what I need to get out? So if we're not exemplifying that, but we're telling our kids, well, you better tell me. You tell me everything. You know, don't you hold nothing for me, and don't you tell nobody else. You tell me, because, you know, I'm your mama, you know. That is happening. Can you speak to why that is so scary nowadays? We can't parent always today. We cannot parent today like we were parented yesterday. It's a new day. There's a new devil. There is a new strategy against our kids. And the fight is it's completely different from even how I, when I was in school, the fight is different.
Yeah.
You know, Can you talk to that about like the power of a parent using their voice to get healing for themselves?
Yeah. You know, I think that I'm excited because I feel like the church as a whole is beginning to understand what it means to be the body of Christ.
That's good.
Every joint supplies. Mm-hmm. And I think that my prayer would be that parents would understand you don't have to do this all yourself.
Yeah.
And if they could build relationships rather than just drop their kids off and pick them up and not even know the names of the teachers or the ministry leaders, if they would, because at some point in your life, you're going to need help.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what camera to look in to say that, but I'm going to say it because at some point in your life, you're going to need help.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's what this is for. We're investing in your help right now because I honestly believe and I know that you're going to need it. And I think our kids, we need to remember this. Kids don't do what we say. Kids do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And if we would bring that model into our home a little bit where they could see that we have strong relationships. And I think that it would help kids as well. And I want to tell every parent, everybody's not perfect. We're going to mess up sometimes. Somebody might say the wrong thing. But bottom line, our heart is to mature that kid. And you need all of us, you know. That goes back to what I said earlier. That scares me when parents stream and kids go in their room and they're on their laptops, they're doing whatever, and they don't get in the atmosphere of church and church family.
Yes.
You know, that kind of frightens me. So that's why I would encourage every parent to, you know, let's go back to church.
Mm-hmm.
If you're watching today, if you're listening today, and you've kind of just said, well, it don't take all that. Let me tell you, it takes every bit of that.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage you to go back to church. Get your kids back in church.
Yeah.
And understand that when you're not here, it's not just that you need us, but we need you as well.
Yeah.
And we, because every joint supplieth.
Yeah.
We need your voice. We need we need you in this conversation.
Yeah. That's right.
Yes.
And so I want to encourage parents to do that and to understand, you know, you're going to need more than just what you have in your house for your child.
I love what you said about, you know, that this generation, it's not a do as I say, not as I do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's a generation where if you're going to be a leader, show me how to do it. I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine, and he was saying, when you're leading people to Christ, when you need to use words. So what that spoke to me was we've got to live what we're talking about, because every leader has to understand that there are people, this generation, specifically Generation Z, are watching them. They're not, I mean, they're listening as well, but they're even more like with eyes of hawks watching you to see, like, are you living this thing out?
That's
or are you just trying to tickle my fancy by telling me nice things? Or, you know, and I think that's how we have built rapport with these students is, like, I'm not going to tell you, hey, let's go ahead and serve over there and go do that ministry event over there and tell me how it went. Like, we as leaders have to be the ones that are on the forefront. Going back to Nehemiah, is that we are here not to just tell you how to live. We're going to show you because students, they learn. They mimic better than they learn.
That's good.
They mimic
That's great.
Better than they learn.
And there's so many fatherlessness issues today, too.
Sure.
That to have that male role model like you feel is meeting a need inside of people, you know, because of what we're lacking at home.
And I love what you said a while ago, Pastor, about inviting people back to church. I don't think as churches we've done a great job at explaining to parents how we need to partner with them and why we want to partner with them and why we feel like the church can be a great solution in their family. And I would say to parents, I love talking to parents in restaurants and on airplanes to go, hey, you know, what does it look like to be more intentional? Because here are four or five things that if you would become more intentional about would make 100% difference in your family. And then I always lean in and I say, all these things we just explained, the church will help you do.
Hmm.
As a matter of fact, you can become 10% more intentional, but if you jump into a church, they'll help you become 30% more intentional in these areas simply because of the way they're designed and organized. And I think You know, I would invite parents who don't even believe what we believe. Mm-hmm. I would say, if you don't even believe everything we believe about Jesus or the Bible, I still feel like I would go to church and hang out with those people, because these are the people that will believe in the future of your children more than any other part of culture and part of a community. And join us, hang out with us.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk about this. We'll talk about what it looks like. But I would love to invite parents who don't even go to church to rethink the role that a church can have in their community, in their home, in the life of their kid, to put caring adults in the life of their kid who will care about their future.
I love that. My mind is already, I can see that whole thing. Just, you know, we care. You know, meet us out here. Let's talk about the hope that we have for your children.
Absolutely. 25% of families in our country, 25% of families in our country are represented by a husband and a wife who live with their own biological children. That means 75%
wow.
are biological, single, are blended families, single parents. I mean, you go down the list. And I don't think, and I would say this to every parent, I don't think most of us as churches have understood what you are wrestling with and what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
And what we love is there are churches like this and churches around the country who are starting to go, oh, we get you.
Yeah.
We want you to trust us.
Yeah.
Trust us with your family, with your children, to walk beside you in a way that's non-threatening, in a way that's respectful, but in a way that will set your kids up to win in the future.
Yeah, that's so good. So powerful. Necessary.
I was gonna say, if we can invite parents back, and I love that, like, it's almost like a movement, I feel like, when you said, we care. Yeah. There's a role that parents play, and I'll even say guardians, because that it's we have non-traditional families.
Yeah.
And they can all look different, you know, in 2018 right now. But even to that grandparent that's raising mm-hmm. kids,
yes.
and she's already raised her kids, and that yeah. grandfather that's trying to raise the grandson, and, you know, we need you here because we don't know where the gaps are. Like, we need to have some honest conversations. Like, when I talk to a parent, I want you to be a part of the ministry and partner with you if that's what you want to do. That door should be open, right? But the first thing you need to hear come from me is that I'm so glad you brought Anthony to church today.
Yeah.
He was amazing in large group.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to tell you that. I hope I see you next week.
Yeah.
If I can just inspire you by imparting that I care, then we move to the place where now you trust us because you know that we care about what you care about. Yeah. Help us do that.
And right, Shura, I want to add one thing to that because that's so important, because I think this is the shift and this is what is happening. We want parents to change. I'm speaking to church leaders now. We want parents to change how they see us.
Yes.
We can't change how parents see us as the church until the church is willing to change how they see parents.
Yes. Mm.
And that's what we're talking about.
Mm.
We're talking about looking at this generation of parents in a different way. And here's what I would say to every church leader, and we know this.
Mm.
Kids in the future are going to decide what they think about the church based on how we treated their parents.
Yeah.
That's right.
And parents are going to decide what they think about the church based on how we treat their kids.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And every kid wants their parent to win.
Yeah.
That's
they want
right.
their they need their parent to win.
Yes. Yeah.
So what are we going to do to make sure as churches that we challenge each other to look at this generation of parents in a different way?
That's so good.
So good.
Because we're better together, right?
Yep. We are.
Right. We are better
yes.
together.
Right.
So much better together.
Anything else? Phil, that's on your heart or anything else that you want to say?
I'm just grateful. I think I'm grateful for this opportunity, and I, you know, I can just see us right there at the end. I just could see us having a bigger conversation, you know, pull our parents in that do attend this church, mm-hmm. you know, and then everybody spread the word and we care about your kids.
Yeah.
I think if we did that at our church and you did that at your church and you did it over on that side of town, next thing you know, we wouldn't have all the scary things that are happening to America today.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the America that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. And my grandchildren are being raised in a different America.
Wow.
And I wonder, Lord, and I can sit here and I can say things like that, or I can say, Lord, how do I get them back? And maybe it wasn't even perfect when I was coming up, but at least back to a more civil type
Absolutely.
Of conversation
yeah.
so that we don't think about killing each other and we don't, mm-hmm. you know, think about bullying each other. I never heard of bullying when I was a kid in school. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it happened, but I don't think it happened on the level that it happens today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think we got to get back to caring for one another. And if we all, you know, we used to say, if we all will pull together, pull together, how happy we'll be.
Yeah.
We stop pulling together. Yeah.
That's what this generation needs to see is people pulling together. They see a lot of going apart,
Division. Families
going apart, race is going apart. And, you know, they need to see us as a church stand up, coming together and fellowshipping together, black, brown, Hispanic, like everybody just coming together. And the common denominator is Jesus.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, my kids, no matter, they know that no matter what happens to them in life, they can always come home. My kids, that's just how we are.
And I love coming home.
Yes, they know that. But I want kids to think of their church in a sense like, I can always go home.
That's right. Yes.
My church is my home.
That's it. Some of us grew up in the older brother version of a church. When the prodigal came home, the older brother was mad.
Yeah.
And he was like, how dare you come back here? Do you know what you did? You wasted your father's inheritance. Yeah. And he's complaining to the father. Complaining to the father, like, how dare you throw a party for him? After he embarrassed our family, after he did what he did. Mm-hmm. And what the loving father does in that moment is genius. He says, do you understand that your brother was lost and now he's found? He makes it personal.
Yeah.
And I think we have a choice in our churches. Either we're going to create a loving father mindset or an older brother mindset. Mm-hmm. And we got to decide which one is it going to be. And this generation is exactly what you just said. They need a loving father mindset from our churches so they can know whatever happens, I can always go back there.
Yeah.
That's where I can be forgiven.
Because you can move. I could move in confidence and I could take more risks because I knew that if I got out there and messed up,
that's right,
I always had home.
That's right.
That I could turn to.
That's good.
I always had mom that I could turn to.
That's the safe place.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're back to the safe place.
And that's why it's so important that we can't come off the wall.
Yeah.
And we can't be distracted because there's so much at stake. And we can't be distracted by, you know, being weary and well-doing. You know, we have to, like you said earlier, it's our job to inspire ourselves. It's our job to have an inspiration plan. And that's part of our strategies because I got to take care of me because I got a work to do.
Yeah. I love that. So we could do a whole show on that right there because how many people and all of us at some point in our life have thought it was somebody else's responsibility to make us happy, to keep us plugged into the church, you know, celebrate me for coming and doing my job. But at the end of the day, if we lose the fact that what we do this for is Jesus Christ, then we're all going to be empty.
Right.
And we got to keep that mission in front of us that no matter what is going on around us, I'm doing this for Jesus.
That's good.
Well, thank you all so much for just being a part of this conversation. Sometimes it just, you have to be brave. You have to be brave to have crucial conversations.
Yeah.
And sometimes when we talk, we not only do we get things out, but we can take in so much more when we talk in community and conversations like this. So we, like I said earlier, we are so much better together. And we got this, y'all. We got this, y'all. Thank you.
We got it.
So much.
We got it.
Thank you, Reggie.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Reggie and Pastor and Keturah and Phil.
Yeah.
I got to do it in a cool way. Yeah. I don't know sure yet.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to have you join us online every Sunday morning at 9 and 11:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Streaming live at www.tphnd.org/watchnow or through our Potter's House North app.